The number of people quitting their jobs has remained at record levels. In August alone, more than 4 million people quit their jobs. That's close to 3% of the entire workforce, according to the U.S. Labor Department. Our next guest has been looking at what this trend looks like for workers in all kinds of industries, including retail stores and restaurants. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are we talking about you or someone close to you? Have you or someone you know quit during the pandemic? If so, what drove that decision? Do you think raising wages will help with worker shortages? Do we have to make jobs better in fields like the restaurant industry or retail? If you are trying to keep people hired or hire new people, what is it looking like from your perspective? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Alina Selyuk is a business correspondent at NPR. Alina, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. How are you?
Good. Well, this I'd heard anecdotal stuff about a lot of people quitting their jobs. This is not just anecdotes, right? The data is there. A lot of people are quitting.
It is there, and it has been there month after month after month. I specifically follow retail, for example, and every month when these reports from the Labor Department come out showing, you know, the rates of people quitting, every month I'm looking to see, is this going to be another record? And every month so far, for the last 3 months, we've been seeing all-time highs for both the rate and the number of people quitting retail jobs. But this is affecting a lot of industries. It's what's the term? The great resignation. That's kind of what we're living through, for sure.
I call it the quittening. I hope that catches on.
Quittening?
Yeah.
It's darker. It's darker.
It is. Now, the retail industry, it is one of the industries, as you point out, that's seen, it's not the only one, but it's seen big levels of people resigning. What is it? You've talked to people in retail. What is driving them out?
It's kind of fascinating. Retail, historically, I mean, if you think about it, sort of culturally has been considered this, you know, temporary bridge, this job that folks take, and sort of culturally has been treated as this place where you go in between, quote unquote, something better. And what data has shown over the years is that in reality, these are jobs that people return to over and over and over, in many cases over the course of many decades, different ages, different stages of their lives. And what I think COVID did, this past pandemic, it created, well, one retail worker put it, it took an untenable situation and made it even more untenable. It added so much more stress. These workers who were in many cases earning some of the lowest wages in the area, minimum wage jobs typically, were suddenly on the front lines of the pandemic. We've heard these stories that, you know, that people were making $14, $15 an hour, were essential. They were getting quote unquote hero pay. They were getting these bonuses for continuing to work while what much of the country sort of hunkered down during the peak of the pandemic. And many of them spent months doing that and then burnt out. I mean, it's as simple as that. That's what a lot of people say, is that it was too scary for them to keep working. They got burnt out. And then at some point they thought to themselves, why am I doing this? And then flip it all on its head to the point where now we're having this conversation about these job mismatch, these massive amounts of job openings that are out there. There are other options all of a sudden for folks. There are many other options for folks, maybe who don't have a college degree, maybe who have some college but didn't finish it, who have only worked in retail. There are just so many other jobs out there that they're thinking to themselves, maybe I'll try to do that instead. I don't have to stay. So the power dynamic shifted ever so slightly. I don't want to be presenting it like the labor dynamic shifted completely, but it's seeing a change.
I want to share an example from your reporting. A former grocery store cashier in Oregon named Rachel Baker. Here's what Rachel told you about the challenges at her job during the pandemic.
I actually found myself kind of holding myself at ready position for every time a customer left to the next customer and be like, okay, is this one going to blow up at me?
And that's part of the additional challenge. Apart from the health risk of the pandemic itself, the added stress, stressed out customers, people maybe having to enforce mask mandates for the customers in the store. That for some, like Rachel, who I guess I gather went into another line of work, that was kind of a last straw too, right?
That was it. It was, you know, and remember, this is take you back last year. There were shortages of very basic items. So folks who were coming to shop to her store were also sort of at the end of the rope in many cases. They were quite stressed out, and all of that was coming out onto her. And she's fairly used. I mean, she'd been a cashier for many years, and so she was used to sort of de-escalating these situations. But the constant stress really took a toll. She had a bit of a breakdown and was like, I can't do this anymore, and realized that she kind of looked back and shocked herself, realizing how many years she did last. She didn't intend to stay in the job, but she stayed for a while because it was okay and it paid okay, but suddenly it just wasn't worth it. The line, it's not worth it, I don't think I've heard as much as I did this year from workers in restaurants and stores.
We're talking to business correspondent from NPR, Alina Selyukh, looking at people quitting, lots of people quitting in recent months in the United States, quitting their jobs, moving into new lines of work. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts, your questions, and your experiences. If you are thinking about leaving a job, have left a job, have had trouble hiring people, and especially people who work in retail or in restaurants, we're going to get to in just a moment. How did things change for you at your work in the last year and a half? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. Alina, let's head into the restaurants now, another industry you've been following closely, one we know a lot of people have been quitting in. Similar stories there, I imagine, from what you heard in retail?
Fairly similar. A lot had to do with this sort of return of the customers, you know, for especially the servers, the folks who actually interact with people who come to eat. That was the big story a few months ago. I'm sure you've seen it, and it's happened, and it was just all over the place, where customers would come in and would expect kind of normal procedure, normal rates of operation at restaurants that were just barely reopening and had skeleton staff, and people were just rude. So that added up on top. I want to actually talk a little bit about wages, because as much as stress of the COVID sort of became the catalyst, the underpinnings of concerns that workers have voiced had been there for years, and that it's all about the wages in most cases. It's the top priority. There are other issues, benefits and sort of the structural workplace issues, but wages are at the top of the list for most people. And specifically at restaurants and bars, also retail and restaurants and bars, wages had stagnated for decades. And not until this year, 2021, did wages actually start kind of growing faster, actually gaining for both. So just to give you an example, for restaurants and bars, an average hourly wage for a worker who's not a supervisor is currently, latest data is for April, $15.76. It crossed the $15 threshold for the first time in May. It, overall, in leisure and hospitality, that $15 threshold got crossed on for an average hourly wage, got crossed in April. For retail, currently, average wage is a bit over $18 an hour. So these wages had stagnated. And now that there's this quote-unquote shortage, but really a job mismatch, many of the major companies are starting to look at that and reconsider it. But that was a major issue for a lot of folks in restaurants and bars.
Again, I want to hear from someone you talked to. This is Lamar Cornett, a restaurant worker in Kentucky who'd worked in the industry for more than 20 years and was rethinking it. Here's a listen.
I genuinely can't remember a single break that I've ever taken that lasted longer than the time it takes to use the bathroom or smoke a cigarette. I've never sat down to eat a meal. I've never had health insurance. I was working what I decided was going to be my last kitchen job.
I understand Lamar ended up staying in restaurants at a different job with better pay and benefits. But did you hear a lot of that story from restaurant workers?
Yes, 100%. On top of wages, you take sort of that wage that's quite difficult to support a family on or even yourself. And then you add in just the stresses of doing kitchen work, which is what he's saying. Breaks are difficult. Schedules are chaotic. And some workers complained about really aggressive bosses. some of these stories do overlap with retail, where you do also hear quite a bit about the chaotic or sort of just haphazard scheduling and unreliable scheduling is also a major concern.
We're talking to Alina Selyukh, business correspondent at NPR, with us today to talk about why we continue to see people quitting their jobs in record numbers over the last few months. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you changed your job in the last year and a half? Have you quit a job or retired earlier than you were planning to? You are not alone, if so, and we'd love to hear your story. Are you having trouble hiring people? And in those jobs, the restaurants, the hospitality industry, retail, what would it take to make conditions there better? Were you fed up by the time the pandemic hit? Was it a last straw for you? Or would higher wages fix the problem? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our look at why so many people are quitting their jobs during the pandemic, especially in the last few months. The latest data from the U.S. Labor Department says the numbers were at record highs in August. Alina Selyukh with NPR stays with us, and you could join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts, your questions, maybe your experiences with what's being called the Great Resignation, or as some call it, the quitting. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Alina, we've heard from a couple people on Facebook. Lisa writes, I've switched to gig work and I love it. Is that one of the outlets you're finding people go to, leaving the steady job to go into gig work, consulting, that sort of thing?
Yes, that's for many people, that's the first opportunity. It's the easiest opportunity to enter. It has its own issues and concerns. Right. It has its own worries and financial considerations. It's kind of, I also want to point out actually something else about what we know where people are going, which is we don't actually know when right. people quit where they go. So that's something important to point out. So when we're looking at these numbers of folks quitting, whether it's retail or restaurants, the same set of data doesn't track them. We don't know if, and I have experienced this, I've talked to a number of people who did this. Some people quit a job in retail and take a different job in retail. Some people quit a job in a restaurant and go work at a store. So this kind of the switch we don't actually see through the data. And it is potentially growing that, I mean, we're seeing that people are getting hired still into these retail jobs. I think in August, the number was something like 900,000 people got hired into retail. So people are still taking these jobs. The bigger question is just sort of historically where, you know, will this actually shift how much companies steal workers from each other and compete on the basis of better benefits, better scheduling, better pay.
On that note, we heard from Dave on Facebook who writes, I know two people who quit and found new jobs because they got better pay and benefits as new employees. Are we seeing a lot of, you just mentioned people raiding workers mm-hmm. from other workplaces. Is this common? We're gonna give you a bonus. We're gonna give you better benefits, whatever it takes to lure you over here.
That's exactly what's happening right now. Definitely in the sort of minimum wage, low wage work, companies are throwing all kinds of bonuses at first time signups. There is a big wave of wage increases, at least in major retail chains and restaurant chains. In some cases, we are still talking a couple of dollars, but for millions of people, that's actually pretty life changing. There is another really interesting thing to point out that there might be a fair amount of geographic mismatch that's happening. So when people bring up this idea that, well, there are so many jobs available. There are over, I think, 10 million jobs available, unfilled as of August. So there are actually more available jobs than unemployed workers. But I think we're seeing a major geographic mismatch in that, you know, a job might be in Maryland and you live in Wisconsin or vice versa.
Let's go to our callers now at 800-642-1234 with Troy in Muskego. Troy, hi.
Hello. I think it's, I don't really have a lot of empathy for a lot of these business owners that are, a lot of these capitalists that are saying, they're complaining that they can't, you know, a lot of workers are leaving. They don't have, they can't find good workers. Well, this is kind of biting them in the butt for the last 30 years because they don't really pay a lot for these jobs. They haven't increased their wages. Their benefits have actually gotten worse, especially in Wisconsin. And I kind of feel like people that have really good paying jobs with benefits, they haven't been leaving those jobs. It's the people that they've kind of made these jobs disposable by not offering it and making it attractive to workers. So when the pandemic hit, these people are like, why would I go back to this job when I can do something I really want to do, you know, and pursue a career, maybe go back to college? Why would I go back to a job that can't even barely pay me minimum wage when it's disposable? They're everywhere. Those jobs are everywhere. Yeah, that's my comments.
Troy, thanks for the call at 800-642-1234. Alina, you mentioned the wage stagnation over the last bunch of years. How about that feeling of being disposable? Is that something you heard from the workers you talked to who were leaving or thinking about leaving their jobs?
I mean, what the caller just said is sort of a short summary of most of my interviews with people who have quit. So yes, feeling disposable, feeling kind of, you know, cog in the machine, was somebody called themselves. And again, this environment in which there is sort of a big, you know, almost societal psychological reconsideration of your own self and your role in the, you know, your family, perhaps, if you have, you know, to support people, you sort of reconsider the things you value. And having this moment when there are so many jobs open, and not all of them are minimum wage jobs, when there are other options, or at least workers feel like there are other options for them, creates an opportunity for the first time for many people in years to say, you know what, I'm going to be brave to quit this thing I've been doing for a number of years. There is like still this mismatch between the jobs that are available and the folks who are not willing or able to take them. And another one I do want to mention is caretaking responsibilities. A lot of working parents say that they quit, not because they hated the job necessarily, but because they have to take care of kids and kids are not vaccinated and they're concerned for their health, or maybe they have someone elderly or someone with a immunocompromised health that they need to take care of. And so all of these, the working parents and working caretakers had to really reconsider. And they are the ones that are, I guess to use the term, being a bit left behind in this conversation, if you like, quite a bit.
Thanks for that call, Troy, at 800-642-1234. Talking about people quitting their jobs, lots of people quitting their jobs. Alina Selyuk is with us from NPR. She's been following this story. Alina, one, I guess, easy solution people might think is, well, pay people more and they'll stick around or they'll come in. One quote struck me. I don't remember exactly who it was or what the quote was, but it was something to the effect of, you know, at this point, thinking about it, you couldn't pay me enough to come back and work at that place. Is that something you ran into a lot?
People do say that. It's important to remember that people often say things and then reality shows something different. So it's one of those things that personally I kind of take with a grain of salt, in the sense of yes, there are many people who are so burnt out and so stressed out and who have found better venues to work at, who would not return to their old jobs. But I think, new doors would open for people if it's a supply and demand sort of question, right? Like, for what amount of money would I be willing to do this job? But there's definitely, especially in the restaurant business, so many people just said, forget it.
Let's go back to our callers now. Anne is with us in central Wisconsin. Anne, hi.
Hi. I was working one job, and I just started in September after a few years being a stay-at-home mom. And then somebody I knew recruited me for their business, just offered me a job with much better pay and benefits, so I took that. So I'm one of the people that just started into the labor force again, but then I immediately switched jobs when I found something better.
And interesting. Thanks for sharing that. Some kind of the opposite in some ways of what we've heard, going from stay-at-home mom now into the workforce, and she's already finding a better-paying job, I guess, just a month in. I don't know. Are we going to see a lot of people hopping around, do you think, Alina?
I don't know. That one is a difficult question for me. Mm-hmm. It's hard for me to tell. I don't know. I think a lot will depend on how the Delta concerns evolve, because again, a number of people, especially working parents and folks with sort of acute health concerns, are watching that with a lot of worry. Mm-hmm. And just to also put another number on it, at this moment, as of August, which is the latest data we have, I think the number of people who have just given up on job hunting is over 5 million. And the rates of unemployment recovery, so sort of people actually recovering their job losses, are particularly low for folks without college degrees and for women more than men, and especially for Black women. And so I think those are the fields I'm watching. As far as the job hopping, I don't know. They say one of the researchers I spoke with actually said that at least the younger generations of workers in most surveys say that they would like to stay with the same employer for 5 years or 10 years if they're treated well.
Thanks for that call. And just our last few moments, Alina, what to you is the big unanswered question when it comes to this story of people quitting?
I think that's what I just brought up, which is what happens to those 5 million people who have given up. Will there be a switch that turns on that draws them back into this workforce? And how will companies address this major concern of women, working parents, and especially Black women whose unemployment numbers just have not recovered since pre-pandemic levels?
We'll leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Alina Selyukh, business correspondent at NPR. She was with us today to talk about why the number of American workers quitting their jobs continues to be at an all-time high.